Okay, a special greeting to everyone listening, watching. It's a huge honor to minister to you. Before I forget, because I forget all the time, yeah? Before I forget, please, I'm asking, kalekhopela, asombelief, ngiyancela, please like, share, and subscribe. Here's what I'm gonna do. Okay, please like, share, and subscribe, especially if this channel is impacting your life. Okay, especially sharing, because you don't wanna progress alone. The top is not nice alone. So I just wanna give a special shout out to my team. Yeah, we like these guys work so hard. If only you could see the hard work. So I love them so much. Shout out to the Weeby fam. Alright, so today we're going to be reading from Matthew 26. We're still continuing with our sermon series. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Nah? So, yeah, reading from Matthew 26 from verse 10. From verse 6 all the way to verse 12. If you have not watched episode 1, 2, and 3. Well, this is 3. If you have not watched episode 1, 2, please do go back and watch it. Because the last thing you want is for me to mention things which you don't really have the same understanding of. You know, like I said in the first series, the power of a thing is in the definition. Okay, so if we're working with the same definition, it will make more sense to you. Now, Matthew 26, verse 6, okay? While Jesus was in Bethany, okay, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. He came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head, this is Jesus's head, as he was reclining at the table. Now, when the disciples saw this, they were angry, okay, or indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a very high price and the money been given to the poor. Aware of this. You know, I didn't see this, but I see it now. Aware of this, okay? Jesus is aware. Yeah, of all the enemy talk. All right. Okay, cool. It just came to me now, so I thought, let me just say that. Aware of this, aware of the haters, aware of the angry people. Jesus said to the angry people, I'll get back to that. Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing. Let me say that one more time. She has done a beautiful thing. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare for my burial. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right there and there, let me take a title to my sermon, and here is the title. Worship is God's methodology to glory. Worship is God's methodology to glory. The text we have just read is happening in a time where Jesus is about to go to the cross. And a lady shows up who is carrying an alabaster jar which contains very expensive perfume. You best believe if the Bible says it's expensive, it's expensive. And she takes the expensive perfume and she pours it onto Jesus's head. Now, allow me to say, okay, and if you have been following the sermon series, you will agree with me that she was having a worshipful moment, because a very expensive perfume needs for you to work, needs for you to sacrifice to get the money to pay for the perfume. And so because she's carrying an expensive perfume and she's pouring it onto Jesus's head, not just anyone's head, she's pouring it onto Jesus's head, we can consider that a worshipful moment. Now, as she's doing that, the disciples get angry. The disciples are angry at the woman for pouring an expensive perfume she bought with her money. And they angry on happy. Like, why are you angry with, like, it's I bought this, so I'm going to decide how I'm going to use, like, all right. And I think one of the problems that made them reach that conclusion is because I think they thought they know him too much. All right, let me leave that. All right. They thought they can dictate how you worship. All right, let me leave that. That came now, mana. And so, this lady then pours the perfume and the disciples are angry. They are angry for the perfume she bought and the way she's using it, because they don't see that woman at that moment is worshiping God. Because worship is a very personal thing. We don't have to share a perspective for me to engage in worship. Ha! All right. I almost went back. Go back to the first episode. You'll see where the power of worship lies. All right. Let me do this. For those of you who are listening to me and you on YouTube, tell them on the comment section which episode did I talk about the power of worship and not moving with a group as it pertains to worship. And so the disciples are looking at what she's doing and they're calling it a waste. They're saying this is a waste. But Jesus is calling it a beautiful thing. The disciples think it's a waste, but Jesus is calling it a beautiful thing. Be careful who you walk with, because if they mislabel what is supposed to be known as a beautiful thing, you just might miss your glorious moment. The next level of your life cannot be a thing where you share the revelation on it. Because for you, it will be a beautiful thing, but others will see a waste in it. This is why you don't need to convince me that we need to go to church. I am glad when I go to the house of the Lord. Some people are considering it a waste when I go to church. Some people are considering it a waste. You know, I spend so much time reading. I spend so much time, you know, isolating myself to dig deep into the Word of God, to dig deep into, you know, books. And some people are calling it a waste, but the reality is it's doing something to me. It's a beautiful thing. And let me just say this. Be careful who you marry. Because if you marry the wrong person, you will spend the rest of your life fighting reasons as to why it's not a waste. Hey. You will have to be convincing your man that this is not a waste. This is a beautiful thing. We have to take out money and take it to church. And here's the thing. If the man or the woman is not going to convince you, he's definitely going to convince your kids that what you call a beautiful thing is a waste. I like this. I don't know. I'm even... Okay. Oh, all right. So, hey, guys, let's not hang around with people who mislabel things. And so Jesus sees that the people are angry at this woman for doing a beautiful thing. And the woman doesn't say anything. It's Jesus who defends the woman who's worshiping. Because you see, God defends worshippers. God defends worshippers. I'm going to leave that right there. Like, I'm going to leave that right there. I'm concluding. Yeah, I'm going, no, this came as a shock, but I'm concluding. Let me see. Yeah, no, let me conclude. When you continue to read the scripture, it says that this woman has done this thing to prepare me for my burial. Now, if you know anything about Christianity, in fact, this is the introduction to Christianity. Like, when you get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what they should tell you about it. The pinnacle of Christianity, the epitome, like the top, is Jesus's death and resurrection. Okay, so when Jesus was going to be buried, that was a moment where power was dispersed Okay, that's where the message of the cross, we'll preach about that actually at some point. Okay, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, it is the power of God. So this woman right here was preparing, okay, for the pinnacle or the glorious moment which we celebrate today in Christianity, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Because worship is God's methodology to glory. You remember in the book of Exodus, God says to Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go because I want to take them to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. You can also look at that as glory. He says, I want to take them to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Okay, let me put it in contemporary language. I want to take them to a point where their businesses are unmatchable by the standards of the world. I want to bless their marriages. I want to bless everything that they just do. And this is the methodology. He says, tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they can worship me in the wilderness, so that they can get where? To the promised land. So we only get to the promised land if we worship in the wilderness. Yo, the methodology to glory is worship in the wilderness. And this is why you cannot afford to worship on contractual obligations. You need to be ready to worship in the wilderness. You need to be ready to worship in the desert. You need to... That's it. I cut there. I'm cutting it there. Right there. I know it's weird, né? But that's it. Worship is God's methodology to glory. Peace! Weebies!